Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Welcome back for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be looking at a neighbor dispute. And this one is really unbelievable. It starts out with some noise complaints, but ends up in a place I don't think anybody would expect. And we're basing this deep dive on a letter that was sent to the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast. And this one really, I think, lives up to the name.
It really does make you wonder.
Yeah.
How these quiet suburban neighborhoods can become a setting for some pretty intense conflicts. You really wonder, you know, what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, for sure. So the letter writer in this case describes their street as, you know, a pretty peaceful place. You know, things are pretty predictable there until this new neighbor moves in named Rick.
And Rick's arrival is described in a way that it immediately sets off alarm bells.
Yeah.
You know, like a beat up truck. Tons of beer crates and all these camo coolers. Just kind of trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get a sense right away that the letter writer kind of knows things are about to change. And that first night, Rick moves in. He cranks up his TV. And it becomes very clear that he has no intention of being a considerate neighbor.
Yeah. It's interesting how noise can be used as a weapon.
Yeah.
That's a way of asserting dominance, controlling the environment, making other people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. So the letter writer does try to reason with Wick. They go and knock on the door, politely ask him to turn it down. And Rick's response is basically to blast the TV even louder.
You know, it's almost funny, but it's also a sign that this guy's not going to play by the rules.
Right.
And this kind of sets the stage for a pattern of behavior where he's dismissive, confrontational, really seems to enjoy pushing the letter writer's buttons.
So it's not just the TV. It gets even worse. The letter writer starts hearing pacing at night, furniture dragging, and this weird, like, bouncing sound every night.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's unsettling. It's almost as if he's deliberately trying to torment them, you know, like game,
yeah,
to see how much they'll take before they break.
So the letter writer decides to try a different approach, fighting fire with, well, in this case, calming mantras. They start playing a meditation audiobook.
Okay. That's pretty passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
But I can see it, you know, an attempt to reclaim some peace.
Yeah.
But also to send a message, like, I will not be controlled by your chaos.
Right. Well, Rick responds to this with a threatening note. It's definitely an escalation, you know, basically letting the letter writer know that he is not someone to be messed with.
Yeah, that's when the fear really starts to set in. I mean, it's one thing to deal with, an annoying neighbor, but it's quite another to feel threatened. And things escalate even further when the letter writer overhears Rick on the phone one day talking about his impressive gun collection and hollow point bullets.
Yeah, that's a chilling detail. That really raises the stakes. You can almost feel the letter writer's anxiety growing at this point. It goes beyond just being a nuisance. It's becoming menacing. And he doesn't stop there. He continues to push the boundaries with all these petty but infuriating acts, leaving garbage cans in the wrong place, putting grease in the flower beds, blocking the driveway. It's like he's trying to drive the letter writer crazy.
Yeah, classic tactic of abusers, you know, this combination of intimidation and petty harassment to wear down their victim. I mean, each incident on its own might seem small, but the cumulative effect can be devastating.
And then things take a really bizarre turn with what we are calling the pecan pie incident.
Okay, this incident is a real turning point in the story. It marks a shift from passive aggression to outright confrontation.
So the letter writer had baked a pecan pie and left it on their windowsill to cool. And when they went back, it was gone.
Okay, and it is worth
an empty beer can. And a note from Rick that just says, you're welcome.
Wow.
It's so brazen. It's so disrespectful. And you can really sense the letter writer's anger and frustration at this point. They finally confront Rick about it. But he just laughs it off, says he was doing them a favor so they can fit into their jeans.
Oh my gosh. It's a classic gaslighting tactic, making the victim question their own sanity.
And it's at this point that the letter writer realizes they need to change their approach. They can't reason with this guy. They can't ignore him. So they decide to start documenting everything.
Okay, so gathering evidence,
mm-hmm,
building a case against him.
Exactly.
And also starting to think about ways to fight back.
And that's where we'll pick up in part two, this deep dive. So the letter writer is now documenting everything, the noise, the harassment, all of it. And they're looking for any opportunity to get the authorities involved.
And this is where that overheard conversation about Rick's gun collection really comes back into play. You know, it's a piece of information that the letter writer is holding on to, hoping it might give them some leverage.
Right. So one Friday night, Rick goes on this drunken rant on his porch, just yelling and screaming. Yeah, well, probably no one in particular.
Sounds like he finally went too far.
Yeah, it seems like it. So the letter writer sees their chance. They call the police. And during the call, they strategically mention the illegal ammunition they overheard Rick talking about.
Oh, that's a risky move.
It is, but they're desperate to get someone to take Rick's threats seriously.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Unfortunately, though, it doesn't really have the desired effect. The police arrive, they have a brief conversation with Rick, and then they leave without taking any real action.
It's a huge disappointment, I bet, for the letter writer, and probably for anyone listening to the story. You know, it really highlights how difficult it can be to get help in these situations.
Yeah, it's true. The police often have limited options when dealing with neighbor disputes.
Especially when it comes to things like noise complaints or perceived threats.
But the letter writer isn't giving up. They need to find a way to fight back, even if it means taking matters into their own hands.
And this is where things get a little creative.
Yeah. So the letter writer comes up with this plan to disrupt Rick's peace and quiet using nothing more than a second cell phone.
Okay, this is what we're calling the phone alarm counteroffensive.
Right.
It's a surprisingly simple, but also pretty devious. So the letter writer sets hourly alarms on this phone and then places it right up against the shared wall between their houses.
Can you imagine like an alarm going off every hour all night long?
I mean, it would certainly be an effective way to disrupt someone's sleep and probably their sanity as well.
And it seems to have worked. Rick's reaction is explosive, to say the least.
Okay, so what does he do?
Well, he starts throwing beer cans into his yard, ranting and raving about the noise. And then he does something that's both bizarre and kind of hilarious.
What's that?
He hangs a bedsheet in his window with a message scrawled across it in what looks like black marker. And the message is, stop being a psycho.
Wow. That's a strange turn of events. You know, the guy who has been terrorizing this person for months is now accusing them of being the psycho.
Right.
It does suggest that. This phone alarm strategy is working. You know it's getting under his skin, pushing him to the point where he's losing control.
And there's another interesting development here. The neighbors, who have been mostly silent up to this point, they start to take notice. You know, they see the beer cans, they see the bedsheet, they hear Rick's rants.
And what happens?
Their opinion starts to shift. They start to see Rick for what he really is. A bully who has been tormenting the letter writer.
So it's a turning point.
It is the letter writer. By fighting back in this creative, if somewhat unconventional way, has managed to expose Rick's true nature to the rest of the neighborhood.
But Rick is still a volatile and unpredictable character. And as we'll see, he's not going to go down without a fight.
And here's where things take an even more unexpected turn. It seems like karma has a way of catching up with people, even in suburbia. So Rick is now the talk of the neighborhood, and not a good way.
Yeah. You know, it's a reminder that even in these quiet communities, word gets around. And when somebody acts outside the norms of acceptable behavior, they often face consequences.
But the story doesn't end there. One night, the letter writer hears this commotion outside, yelling sirens, a whole lot of chaos, it turns out. Rick was trying to steal a catalytic converter from a car down the street. And let's just say, it didn't go according to plan.
So this is where the story takes a really wild turn. Rick, in his attempt to make a quick buck, ends up impaled on a piece of metal from the very car he was trying to rob. Talk about instant karma.
It's almost too perfect. The man who has been making the letter writer's life a living hell is now lying injured in the street.
So this presents a real dilemma. For the letter writer, do they call for help knowing they could save this man who has tormented them? Or do they simply walk away and let fate take its course?
Yeah, it's a tough call. And the letter writer does struggle with it for a moment. But ultimately, their conscience wins out. They call 911.
You know, it really speaks to their character that even after everything Rick put them through, they still choose to do the right thing.
But as the paramedics are loading Rick into the ambulance, he looks at the letter writer and says, "This ain't over."
Chilling words. It shows that even in defeat, Rick is still clinging to that anger and resentment.
Thankfully, "This ain't over" turned out to be an empty threat. Rick is eventually evicted from his house and ends up getting arrested for a string of other offenses. Peace finally returns to the neighborhood.
It's a satisfying conclusion to a story that could have easily ended much worse. But the letter writer does mention something interesting. They say they still sometimes hear these phantom noises, like echoes of the torment that they endured.
Yeah, it's a reminder of the lasting impact of trauma. Even when the threat is gone, the scars can remain.
But the letter writer also shares some valuable advice for anyone else dealing with a Rick in their lives. They say it's not about winning the war. It's about surviving long enough to watch them self-destruct.
Words to live by. Sometimes the best way to deal with a difficult person is to simply outlast them.
It's about focusing on your own well-being, setting boundaries, and finding ways to protect yourself, both physically and emotionally.
Well, this deep dive has taken us on quite a ride through the ups and downs of a truly unbelievable neighbor's view. It's a reminder that even in the most ordinary settings, extraordinary things can happen.
And it really underscores the importance of resilience, community, and knowing when to stand up for yourself and when to step back and let karma take the wheel.
So the next time you hear a strange noise coming from next door, maybe just take a deep breath, remember the story, and consider all of your options.
You never know what kind of Rick might be lurking on the other side of that fence.
That's a wrap for this deep dive. We hope you found it as fascinating and thought-provoking as we did. Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson-Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 Mannies that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.